All right. Welcome in to episode number 23 of the Toilets to Titles podcast. This is a this isn't going to be our regular weekly show where we talk starts, sits, you know, all that good stuff. This is we're doing a quarterly recap episode. We're going to break down. I know it's basically week five is over, but we're going to mostly break down, you know, the first quarter of the season plus week five. We're going to, if you haven't listened to our bathroom board episode before the season where we discussed players that we liked and we had some bets with each other and we had our rankings and stuff, I would go back and listen to that because that's a little bit of a preview to this. So that bathroom board episode, I don't know the episode number, but I'll share the link because you'll want to check this out. This episode, we're going to be going over some of our bathroom board bets. We're going to be checking in on them. We're going to hand out some superlatives. It's going to be a lot of fun. And with me for this episode, I got my two hosts. Justin, how's it going, my man?
Hey, man, how's it going?
It is going great. That's at @JustinFF_. We got Nate, who you can't see. Nate, if you're watching, you can't see him. But if you're listening, it doesn't matter because you can't see us anyway. That's at @Nate_Dirt19. Nate, what's cooking?
Well, not much. Just been up since about 3:30 my time in the morning, on the road for a while and heading to training, so things are good.
Newly father Nate for his first time on the show since being a dad. How does it feel? How's it going? How have the fantasy gods blessed you since the birth of Finn?
Not very well, but I mean, I don't really care to be honest. Things have been really good. He sleeps really well so far. Knock on wood. You know, I mean, wakes up once or twice a night, which is fine. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun. It's pretty crazy that 9 months came and went just like that. And, you know, I'm just excited to see where things go. And, you know, hopefully he brings me some good luck.
You're supposed to bring him good luck, man. And he's not supposed to do nothing for you.
As the dad of a 19-year-old, the next 9 years are going to – the 19 years are going to go just as fast as that 9 months did. It is insane, dude. Cherish it.
I want to like yesterday I was up at my wife's family's lake house closing it down or getting it ready to close down, and I was holding my brother-in-law's and my sister-in-law's daughter, and she's a few months, and it's incredible the change they go through in the first few months. Like at first they're so fragile and frail and like you don't want to hurt them, and then like within a month or two they become so cute and so easy to hold, and I want another one bad. I want number three. But that's for a whole nother show. All right. You can find me on the Twitter at Coach Sheps. You could find our show on the Twitter at Toilets to Titles. And we recommend you following all of us, following the show on game day, the day before the game, game week, whatever. You could tweet us. You could DM us any start, sit questions. If you have any trades that somebody's offered you or you want to offer, message it to us. We'll let you know what we think. And we're one big happy family, right? And the family just grew with the addition of Finn. But we're one big happy fantasy football family. Where we haven't been. I wasn't happy all weekend. I haven't been happy every weekend. But we are one big happy family. I do know that Shane is down here causing a stir in the group chat saying that there's only two undefeated teams in Frankenstein. Shane's been pushing my buttons, man. And I'm coming for you, Shane. I'm not undefeated. I've been losing. My team's taking a turn, and this is an announcement to the fantasy football community and to the Frankenstein community. I am coming for you, Shane. I am coming for you. I just whipped the floor with Nate, and you're next. It's like Goldberg, except I'm not undefeated. Who's next? You are. I don't know when we play again, Shane, but you're going down. All right? Anyway.
I'm gonna take this opportunity to finally get to brag a little bit, too, because I'm down by only a few points, but I still have – Drew Brees and Tannehill playing. But the way that this Frankenstein league is and as crazy as the scoring goes, it is very, very possible that Brees has a less than decent game and then that Tannehill game gets canceled and then I'm still going to face another loss. But I play George. We're the two worst teams in the league, and I have no idea who I'm going to steal if I do beat him. But I promise you, George, I'm stealing somebody just to say that I did. I don't care if it's the water boy.
Nate, I'm sorry I had to call, tell everybody that I wiped the floor with you.
You don't need to apologize. My team really fell off. I don't know what happened. The wheels just fell off.
You were hot. You were hot early on.
Yeah, real good early on. Then COVID hit. Lost Cam, and then got Russ Wilson stolen from me, and then that pretty much was pretty much the end of my run. So we're gonna give her hell though. See what we can.
And then I benched all my guys when I played Shane. So Shane's bitter. So Shane took Matt Ryan from me. That was the only player I had started. So he traded him to Nate because he wanted Nate to beat me for benching all my guys when I played Shane. And guess what? Matt Ryan put up a whole 2 points. So that plan backfired. All right. I'm going to take Derrick Henry or Mark Andrews. Too bad I didn't start Robert Tonyan because I could have gave him back to you, Nate, but he's on my bench.
Yeah,
I guess I could give them to you. You're allowed to give bench players back. You're just not allowed. You only can take some, correct?
Well, it's supposed to be the same position. So if you're taking Andrews,
I can give Townsend back. Maybe. Just
do it. I don't care. It's fine. You know, I'm ready. I'll be all right. Cam's gonna be back next week, and we're gonna start over.
I like it. I like your style. All right. Anyway, we've been drifting a little bit. Everybody, you can listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, on Podbean, on Periscope, on Spotify, and on our YouTube channel. As you can tell, we really enjoy when people come into our YouTube channel and communicate with us. It adds a little bit to the episode. This is fun and makes it a little more fun. If you're watching on YouTube, heck, if you're listening on Podbean or Apple Podcasts, please go to our YouTube channel link, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. All of that really helps, and we really appreciate that. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please submit a review, you know, something good, not something bad. All of that helps, you know, these episodes get out to more ears and to more eyes. We really, really, really appreciate it. It only takes a few seconds. We did some giveaways for Frankenstank League earlier this past off season. Next year, we're probably going to be doing two or three more of those, and we'll do it like Scott Fishbowl style where – you know, the leagues are separate, but then they come together for the playoffs. It's going to be a lot of fun. And there's already a bunch of good analysts in this thing. And then we're probably going to add a few more good analysts and listeners. So we are going to go back when we're doing giveaways. And the first giveaways we're going to give away are to the people who subscribed and who reviewed early on. So even if you want, if you throw us a good review, take a screen cap of it, DM it to us so we have it. And then when we're doing giveaways, you can get in there. Cause I think it's like $25 or $35 for the Frankenstank League. So it's, you know, whatever, but it's free. You can get in for free. If we give it to you, and it's a chance to win some money, play with some good, fantasy analysts and have some fun. So, that's my whole spiel. Go ahead, Justin.
And also if you're trying to hit that like and subscribe down there in the bottom corner next to the banner there, you'll see that little subscribe button to make it a lot easier for you.
That's it. That's it. A lot easier, man. All right. So we are going to recap the first quarter of the NFL season. And that's going to include week 5, like I said, just to make it a little more complicated. And I created some superlatives, and we're each going to hand out an award to different players or coaches or teams. So to start this off, the first one I figured that we should do is the I Told You So award. It's a player that we were high on prior to the season. We were higher on than most, rather, who is balling now and who backed us up. Justin, who is the player that you told us about or you told the world about?
I was a lot higher than most people on Adam Thielen. I think I had him rated as my wide receiver 9 going into the season. He was the wide receiver 8 going into last night as far as points per game go anyway, because that's typically what I look at. And after last night, he is now wide receiver 5 overall in points per game. So I'm gonna take a little victory lap on that one because I do have him in a lot of leagues because I did have him rated higher than most. As a matter of fact, I just traded him in my main league for Tyreek Hill and T.Y. Hilton. So I traded
You had him 9th. I'm checking the rankings now. So you had him very high.
Yeah, I had him 9th. Which, like I said, it's a lot higher than most. Most people felt like without Diggs, he was going to take a little bit of a back seat. But I kind of – I also – we had an episode where I kind of explained that because I was higher than you guys, and I had stated that it's because Justin Jefferson was going to step up and play that Diggs role pretty nicely, and then that they would get some help from other guys. Doesn't look like they're getting much help from other guys, but but Justin Jefferson did step up, so I'm pretty proud of the Thielen call.
Nate, who is your I told you so player?
Well, I don't have the stats like Justin does because it's kind of last minute, but I do recall, I believe it was in the season preview maybe with the win-loss totals, I talked about the old Big Bob Tonyan and said that he was going to be a factor in the passing game and obviously has been thus far for the Packers. We'll see how sustainable it is, but he's been pretty good so far. So
he is also fifth in points per game for tight ends.
Thank you.
Phenomenal. All right, my I told you so award goes to Terry McLaurin. I had Terry 11th overall, I believe, and you can check these rankings out at fusionffb.com. These were draft rankings, but if you want to go back and see where we had these players ranked prior to the season, you go to fusionffb.com, and it's broken down by player. You go to the draft rankings tab, all right? We'll probably be updating these, and then we'll be doing some rookie rankings next year. So also a little bit of a tease, Joshua from Fusion FFB is coming on the show tomorrow night. We're going to record a little late. We're going to go on at 9:30 p.m., so a little Fusion FFB plug. But anyway, I digress. I had Terry McLaurin as the 11th overall wide receiver, and he is PPR wide receiver 10, and he has 17 points per game. So I feel pretty good about that one. I knew Terry was coming on strong last year, and I figured he would build off of that, and I tried to buy him everywhere I could. And you know what? I think he's going to end higher than wide receiver 10, and that is with trash at quarterback. You know, I don't know why they took Haskins out, to be honest. That's for a whole nother episode. But Kyle Allen didn't look too hot. Alex Smith didn't look too hot. But I still think he's going to finish higher than wide receiver 10. I think he finishes somewhere between 7 and 8. All right, let's go down to fantasy MVP, first quarter MVP. Nate, who is your first quarter MVP? I can tell
it's
you myself. Kind of
tough, but I got to go with Josh Allen. I think I'm kind of going with Allen. I know that's a lot of people's first quarter MVP, and it's pretty easy, but he's just been unreal. He's really improved his game as a whole, you know, for the football. He's so much more accurate. Downfield's been fun. I think Steph Diggs helps a lot, but he's been a blast to watch.
I think that's I think that's makes it a good answer. The fact that a lot of people have him as the MVP, I think that makes it a solid answer. Justin, who's your MVP?
I mean, let's face it, it's most likely going to be a quarterback, but you guys we're taking the good quarterbacks here, so I'm going to go against the grain here and say Alvin Kamara, 127 PPR fantasy points, and that's going into this last week. A lot of these stats we're not going to have updated from week 5. A lot of them are just week 4, but Kamara also hasn't played yet this week. So before week 5, he actually had more fantasy points in PPR than Russell Wilson. So he's balling out.
All right, and I had a tie. For mine, I had Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. Russell Wilson has a good chance of finishing as the MVP, and Dak Prescott does not. that's all I got to say about that. But Russ had 124 points, and Dak had 125 points going into week 5. Both of them are killing it. So, and again, this is fantasy MVP, not just NFL MVP. All right, let's go on to Rookie of the Year. Justin, who do you have that Rookie of the Year up to this point?
Yeah, I didn't catch the idea that this was fantasy MVP and fantasy Rookie of the Year. So that was part of my thinking with the Alvin Kamara thing. it's also part of my thinking with the Rookie of the Year thing. I was thinking actual Rookie of the Year. So that's my fault. But I'm still going to stick with it, man. Justin Herbert, he's the QB9 overall in fantasy points per game. He has a much easier schedule coming up than Burrow does. My thinking was that they're going to give the Rookie of the Year to a guy that's on the field all the time, which for quarterback, it's going to be Burrow and Herbert. But yeah, even for fantasy purposes, Herbert is playing really well, and he's got that easier schedule coming up. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the Chargers in just a bit, but I like his style, and I also like that he's on a couple of teams.
Yeah, that helps. My fantasy Rookie of the Year up to this point is James Robinson. He's the 23rd overall player. He's averaging 19 points per game, And the fact that he was probably so easily had in most formats, you know, probably picked real late, that makes it even easier for me to give him the award just because his value, that makes his value very, very high. So especially if you're a guy or a team who is tanking or say you're 1-4 up to this point and you really aren't looking like you have a playoff shot and you got a guy like James Robinson, you could sell that player for more than what you spent on him. You know, whether you spent blind bid money when it was just a waiver claim or whether it was in, you know, in the late rounds of a rookie draft. You know, yes, you could keep him, but I'm not certain I feel he's going to keep up with this value, you know, after this year. You know, it's hard to say. So I would try, you know, I know this is for a later segment, but this is a guy who you could turn him into a lot more than what you spent on him. Nate had to go. So, Nate, appreciate you joining us. And we're going to do the rest of this segment with just me and Justin. All right. We were originally planning that, but Nate wanted to come in and say howdy do to y'all. So Mr. Overachiever, Justin, who is your Mr. Overachiever up to this point?
Well, I went with Jamison Crowder. Before this weekend, he was the wide receiver 4 overall in PPR. So I got to believe that it's even higher now. Yeah, now it's wide receiver 2. Jamison Crowder in PPR is the wide receiver 2 after most teams have played their 5 games. So, and that's average points per game.
Wide receiver 2? Holy, I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. So I'm going to have to go with Jamison Crowder. I have absolutely zero shares of him in 20 leagues where you set lineup. So this by no means is a victory lap. This is actually a shame on me lap. But I've got to recognize it. So incredible.
If Braxton Berrios isn't owned in any of your leagues, pick him up because Crowder, his hamstrings are like wet tissue. So, yes, he's balling. But I'd go pick up Berrios because Berrios could easily fall into that role in that offense. We saw him do it when Crowder was out. Mr. Overachiever is Dalton Schultz. You know, no one expected anything from him. It was Blake Jarwin. Blake Jarwin goes down. Dalton Schultz is another guy like James Robinson who you likely didn't even draft. You picked him up through waivers. Up until this past weekend, he was tight end number 6, 18 receptions, 219 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So, maybe he'll fall into that Tyler Eifert role now that Dalton's starting at quarterback. Who knows? That offense is rolling. I think they're going to continue to roll. Let's see if Dalton Schultz fizzles out or if he keeps riding high. But he's my Mr. Overachiever up to this point. Now, Mr. Letdown, the guy who let you down. Justin, who is your Mr. Letdown?
I mean, I'm a Colts fan. This one's easy for me, and that's T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton was the wide receiver 85 in points per game in PPR going into this week, and he only had a few catches for like 60 or 70 yards this week, which is probably his best game of the season, but I would still guess he's probably still in the 60s or less in wide receiver points per game in PPR. So that's a complete letdown for fantasy. It's a letdown for Colts fans, and it's not his fault. It's Philip Rivers' fault. I'll put blame where it belongs. But my other one is obviously Zach Ertz. He was the tight end 20 in PPR points per game going into this week. He did not have a good showing this week either. So yeah, he's having a really down year. I'm not panicking. I'm not going to just sell him for peanuts right now. At this point in his career, he's like 29 years old. He's probably going to have a few more good years left where he's at least a serviceable tight end. You sell him off now, you're not getting anything out of him. So you've missed your sell window. So if somebody really wants him, they're going to have to come and get him at this point because, you know, crapshoot picks aren't worth it.
All right. My Mr. Letdown, I have 2 as well. Carson Wentz is the first one. He's quarterback 16, which makes him not startable in the 12-team league. He's not startable in a 14-team league. And you probably drafted him as QB 6 or 7, I'm assuming. And the fact that he's, you know, not startable, that's a big-time letdown. He does not look good. You know, yes, his line's injured and his wide receivers are a little banged up, but I've seen quarterbacks with similar situations. If you're great, you make everyone rise to your level. You don't drop to their level. and he has dropped. And he's just, you know, he didn't necessarily look bad to start the season. It was almost like he was just kind of – he had a few bad breaks. But as the season goes on, he looks worse and worse. Like, to start the season, interception, like, might have been tipped by somebody and caught by somebody else where, like, could have went either way. But now it's like his interceptions are bad. He's gotten worse and worse as the season goes on. And my second player for Mr. Letdown is Joe Mixon. Up until this last weekend, I don't know how he did this past weekend, but he's running back 9. He only had 46 yards in week 2, 49 yards in week 3, and he had 0 touchdowns until week 4. So none of that is good. He was picked probably as a top 5 running back, and he's almost not even top 10. So I think it's clear and evident that you know, I think a lot of people would give Joe Mixon the Mr. Letdown Award. All right, comeback fantasy player of the quarter. Justin, who is your comeback fantasy player?
Let's see. I have Cam Newton. He's the QB7 in points per game right now. So, like, overall, his performance has been there. Obviously, COVID derailed him, but the team does look absolutely dreadful without him now. So, he's going to keep that spot, and he's gonna roll with it. And I think that because he only played 2 games last year, if I remember right. So I think that definitely qualifies for comeback. And then I also kind of jotted down Alex Smith here with some question marks because, you know, it's just a feel-good story. You love the feel-good stories. And he
that could be next quarter. It could be next quarter. Alex Smith could be the guy.
Maybe. Like, I don't know that it's going to be there performance-wise, though. Like, I kind of wonder if it's not still an amazing comeback just because – He's just going to start for an NFL team after all this time of not knowing what was ever going to happen. He fought back, and he's starting for an NFL team again. You know, like, I think that alone is worth at least an honorable mention, you know, even if the right performance isn't there. Like, does the comeback player of the year have to be a great performance? You know what I mean?
Right, right. No, I get it. It's the fact that he, you know, was such a bad – just the fact that he's even on the field, you know?
Right.
It's incredible. My comeback fantasy player of the quarter is Alvin Kamara. He was the 30th overall player in 2019, and that was because he was a little banged up. But he made a statement. He's number 1 overall through this week. So he has 32 points per game. Alvin Kamara, if you own him, he has completely gifted you with just tremendous amounts of points. So Alvin Kamara is my comeback fantasy player of the quarter. Now this next award is called Player Who Will Win You a Championship. So this is a player or players that, you know, might be able to get cheap or, you know, and because you can get them cheap, they'll put your team over the top, or it's just a player who is going to turn it on and is just going to ball down the stretch. So Justin, who, I know you got 2 here. So who are your players who will win you a championship?
Well, I jotted down Josh Allen and Jonnu Smith because of where you drafted them at, and they're already overperforming there. And this is kind of with a redraft mentality, or, you know, well, I guess you did say win a championship. So even in Dynasty, you're wanting to win right now. But Josh Allen is well overperforming his 9th round value, and Jonnu Smith is well overperforming his 12th round value on a points per game basis. Plus, you got to figure that Jonnu already has that bye week out of the way now. So,
right.
So that's a huge boost, a huge help. And that's who I had put down initially, but then I added after yesterday's game, Chase Claypool.
Ooh.
Cow. Like, and it's even more impressive than just the 4 touchdowns that he had, because he had another one where there was a penalty on the play, so it was called back anyway. But had there not been a penalty, he caught the ball as the defender was laying at his feet, because he shook the defender fell, and he might have maybe barely stepped out of bounds. But if that play doesn't have a penalty and it's a 0.5 yard in bounds, he's taking off for another one. And then there was another play earlier in the game where Roethlisberger just needed like a 0.5 second more to let the play develop. But Claypool did a slug go and took off and had a wide open field. It would have been an 80-yard touchdown to Claypool. He was this close to having 6 incredible touchdowns. Like, where the hell was this when he played for Notre Dame? Like, right. Come on, man.
Well, I think a lot of that had to do with who his quarterbacks were at Notre Dame, you know?
Yeah, very true.
So, very true. you know, I think Chase Claypool, man, he killed me yesterday. You know, I started against him in one league, and he absolutely killed me. So I'm not too happy with Chase Claypool right now. But my player who will win you a championship is Ezekiel Elliott. You know, Zeke's been pretty good this season, but I think with Dak down, I think Zeke is going to take that as a personal challenge, and I think he's going to rise to the occasion. You know, the offensive line isn't as good as it's been in years past with Lael Collins on the IR and Tyron Smith on the IR, but the interior is pretty good with Zach Martin, Connor Williams, and Tyler Biadasz, who they drafted out of Wisconsin. And I do think the passing game is going to be formidable with Andy Dalton. You know, I don't think it's going to be what it was with Dak, but I think Dalton is good enough, and I think those weapons are phenomenal. You know, CeeDee Lamb has really come on. You know, they have three wide receiver ones. You know, you could argue me if you like, you know, anybody out there. But I do, so I think Zeke is going to eat. He's going to take it as a challenge, and he's going to rise to the occasion. And I expect Zeke, you know, 15 points or more per game, you know, especially PPR per game, and expect a few, you know, 25 to 30 point performances. Zeke is going to take it as a challenge.
I agree, and Gallup is the odd man out just because the other two are that good. But I'm glad to hear this. I got Zeke as my main running back in my main league, so I like it.
Yeah, I think it adds some fire to his belly. He's a fiery guy, so I think this is a little bit of ammunition there. All right, this is a good one here. Players to trade for before they break out. Justin, who's some players that you think people should trade for now?
Well, I put down Leonard Fournette and Zach Moss, and I'm also kind of – I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I made a trade yesterday before the 1 o'clock games and got Zach Moss. A guy had two running backs that were playing in the Patriots game, I believe. Well, one in the Patriots game – yeah, both of them were in the Patriots game because it was Melvin Gordon and then Rex Burkhead, I think, were his two starting running backs. So once that game went to a bye, he was screwed, and he had no other options on the bench because they were either hurt or on bye already.
Right.
So he was able to trade him who was it? You go ahead. I want to look this up real quick.
All right, so my guy I had was Jalen Hurts. I think Carson Wentz is going to – especially in Superflex. If you can get Jalen Hurts, you know, say there's a guy whose quarterback went down, like a Dak Prescott, and you have a veteran like a Tom Brady or like a, like a Drew Brees, and you can go and you could trade one of those guys, get, you know, maybe some picks. Like hopefully you have two other quarterbacks, so you can afford to move one of them, and you can get a guy like Jalen Hurts as a throw-in, you know, especially in Superflex. It's his job, I think. You know, maybe not right now, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but Jalen Hurts is the future there. You know, I think they're going to give him more and more, and I think by next year it's going to be Jalen Hurts' team. So it might not, you know, break out, maybe not this season, but he's going to break out. It's going to be his team. So if you're in Dynasty, go trade for Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, definitely, especially in Dynasty. I agree with that completely. And my trade was Malcolm Brown. So the guy, he had his two starting running backs went down. He had no other options. He saw that Malcolm Brown was on my bench because I just had a feeling with Akers coming back, there's going to be too much of a split. I didn't think he was going to play that well. So I had him on my bench, and I did have some other decent options. And he said, what will it take to get Malcolm Brown right before the game started? And I knew he was in a bind. I said, Zach Moss straight up. And he did it. And he obviously – he drafted Zach Moss, so he knew from week one that they were going to try to split. And he's getting a lot of carries and a lot of usage, but he was desperate. So I took advantage of the situation. I got Zach Moss. And the other one, Leonard Fournette, is all about – I feel like when he's healthy, he's still going to come back. I still think he's going to be the guy in Tampa Bay. I know that Rojo is playing really well. This is the best year of his career so far, and I think a lot of that is because he knows that Fournette's back there, keeping him motivated. But I think that Fournette's going to take on quite a bit of that offense, especially since Rojo keeps dropping passes. Tom Brady's only going to take that so long if he's got a healthy, better option behind him.
And I said it before the season started, once the Bucs got Fournette, I think they'll mess around. It'll be a little bit of a timeshare. But I think when it starts becoming playoff season, like when it's week 10, it's week 10 on, it's going to be Leonard Fournette's job. And you're going to be able to ride him into the playoffs because Tom Brady's going to want to lean on a guy, like you said, who's not dropping the football, who's going to hold on to the football, who's tough, who's gritty. you know, cold, who can kind of, you know, tote the rock in a cold weather game, you know, all things that are needed when it comes to the playoffs. So I think, you know, yeah, Rojo's getting the ball now, but I do think it's going to be Leonard Fournette. I like that. So, all right, now who are some players to move on from before they cool down? That's another superlative here. So, Justin, who's your player to move on from?
Obviously, if I'm buying Zach Moss, it's because I'm selling Devin Singletary. He's not playing horrible. He's a low-end RB2 right now. So, and as far as points per game, he's actually RB19 right now because they haven't played this week, so that's still up to date. But with Moss coming back and being more heavily involved, I think that this is the time to try to sell him and sell him on the fact that Moss is just a rookie and he's still a low-end RB2 and RBs are hard to come by and that sort of thing. So he might be the kind of guy to sell because right now running backs are so scarce. Everybody wants them. They're willing to pay more than they have to get them. So, and then the other one I put was Robert Tonyan, 36.8 points in week 4 with Adams and Lazard. Once Allen, Adams and Lazard are back and healthy and ready to go, he'll come back down to earth. So he's not going to continue to perform at top tight end level. So that's why I would move on from Robert Tonyan, because I think you can get more out of him than what he's worth right now.
Nate did not want to hear that. That's why he left. You know, he's drinking the Robert Tonyan Kool-Aid.
Well, he actually did put in our notes, in case he could do it, that Big Bob Tonyan, Marquez Valdez,
oh, yeah,
and are all his move on before they cool down now. And I can kind of see the Zeke thing because that was what I was worried about at first when I first initially got the or saw the Dak went down. I was thinking, man, they're gonna put 9 in the box. They're gonna stop Zeke. But then Dalton went out there and he was like 9 for 11 and like 120 yards or something like that.
When you have those weapons, you know, when you're not force feeding a guy the ball, you can game plan people open. You know what I mean? Like that's what like the air raid style offense does. And you know, I'm not saying they run the air raid offense, but you know, when you got 3 or 4 guys who can catch the ball like that, you know, you could scheme players open. And I think just by scheming them open, he's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, now when they play a team who's all around good, you know, yes, he's going to have a tough time, but. I think he'll be all right. But my player to move on from before he cools down is Odell Beckham Jr. He has 3 weeks below 10 points. He has 1 week above 15 and 1 week above 35. And I think that's right about what he is. I think he'll have 3 monster games this season, you know, 3 good games this season, and then 10 below average games this season. So I think, you know, he had a monster game 2 weeks ago and you might still be able to get a lot for him. I just don't trust Odell Beckham. He's very, very good. Very good. I just don't trust him in that offense. So Odell Beckham is a guy I'm moving on from, you know, while I can, you know, while the price is high.
And in PPR, Odell did already come back down to earth against the Colts this week a little bit. He had 11.42. And the 0.42 is because he also threw a pass to get some of those points. So 5 catches for 58 yards is pretty much about what you can count on a week-to-week basis.
Right.
Have those 2 touchdown games.
Right. So, all right, who's your breakout team, Justin, the team that will start to break out after this week?
Well, I'm having a little trouble here because somebody tried to call me, so this little – icon pops up on the top of my screen and then it like takes forever to go away. So I really can't tell you. Oh wait, let me move something around here. Wait, I got you. What were we on?
I can go ahead and I can give my if that'd be easier.
The coach of the year. Is that what we're on?
No, breakout team.
Oh, breakout team. Oh, we didn't do coach of the year.
Oh, we passed. Oh, I'm sorry. Coach of the year. Who's your coach of the year, Justin?
All right, cool. Sean McDermott. So it was either him or Adam Gase. I was kind of, you know, up in the air about it a little
bit. Right, I get that.
He did finally throw Joe Flacco in there, even though it was due to injury. But that was a smart coaching decision. but anyway, Sean McDermott, the Bills are undefeated. They got they have had an easy schedule so far. I'll give you that. But the rest of their season, they have a lot of very winnable games. And when you start off, even if it is easy games, you start off with this kind of momentum early on. That momentum can really roll with you, especially if you stay healthy. You think about how much they plan on utilizing Zach Moss, and they've been without him, and they're still winning games. They're just adding another weapon when he comes back.
Right.
And wide receiving core is on it. Diggs is killing it. Brown has been a boomer bust kind of player for fantasy, but it's because he's such a boom player on the field. He gets those one or two deep passes, and that just absolutely kills your defense. It stretches the defense. But he's got a lot of weapons, and I think that McDermott is doing a great job of balancing that out and also bringing that defense together as well. So I like what he's doing.
I got Sean McDermott as well. You know, like how you know, you look at how Josh Allen's developed there. And, you know, under their system, you know, you look how the defense has played tough, you know, week in and week out, they're tough. And I think the team just plays tough. And I think when a team plays tough, that says a lot about their coach. And I think Sean McDermott has done a great job with the Buffalo Bills. And I'm interested to see if they keep it together and they keep moving in that direction, you know, down the stretch. Let's see. It's not even down the stretch yet. We're not even halfway down the season, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Let's see if the Bills are, you know, if they could sustain this.
And let's face it, most of the voters usually have their votes in by the – or at least in their head. They know who they're voting for by, like, week 12 or,
right.
or 12 or 14 anyway. So
right. Okay. All right. So now who is your breakout team, that will start to break out after this episode?
I took the Chargers. After week 5, they have 5 very winnable games in a row. And then a couple more pretty winnable games at the end of the season. So I can easily see 8 to 9 wins. That, and when you have 7 teams in the playoffs in each conference, that's easily a playoff team right there. So yeah, Herbert's leading the way.
I like it. I was going to put the Chargers, but then you did. So I went with the Minnesota Vikings. They played very tough last night. I don't think their record shows, you know, really who they are. And I think that the defense is getting a little better. I think the offense is getting a little better. I think if Dalvin Cook is healthy, which there was a little bit of a scare last night, you know, I think they can rise. And I think Minnesota can be a playoff team.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, they played incredible last night. If it wasn't for that poor coach, the field goal. And I know what those little stats at the top of the screen said and what the announcers were talking about with the percentages of winning if they do this or they do that. But flat out, dude, it's Russell Wilson. He had a timeout with over a minute to go. I don't care if he's got to go 99 yards. In this case, it was only 94 yards, so that was even better for him. Like, he's going to make that comeback. You have to kick the field goal and hope that your defense can stop them on the two-point conversion. It's only 75 yards if you kick the field goal and then you kick the kickoff into the back of the end zone. But come on, man. It's Russell Wilson. You can't take that chance. The greatest right. quarterback find a way to win at the end of the game. And he is one of the greatest quarterbacks.
Yep. Flat out. Yep. No, 100%. 100%. Nate threw in the Cardinals there. So Nate's ghostwriting right now. So Nate's breakout team is going to be the Cardinals. All right. Now, a cool down team that will start to cool down, the opposite of the breakout team. Justin, who's your cool down team?
The cool down team is my team, the Colts. And I put this down before the week 5 games. I actually had this entered in yesterday morning when they were 3-1 and looking good, because after seeing how Rivers performed against the Browns, it made it even more so that I was right about Phillip Rivers the whole time. So I see 6 very losable games for the Colts in the near future. And them taking they might back into the playoffs, I guess, because that defense is so incredible. But again, just like I said all offseason, they're going to win despite Phillip Rivers, not because of him. And he's going to be what holds them back from doing anything in the playoffs, because if they play anybody that's any kind of contention, you're going to get 225 yards and 2 interceptions, which is pretty much, I think, about what he got against the Browns.
Do you remember my bold prediction for the Colts prior to the season?
I do, and I hope you're right. But except I don't think it's going to be Eason. I think it's still going to be Brissett if they do make that move.
It might be Brissett, but then it'll be Eason. Eason is the
guy. Hey, if it's Brissett, I'm still going to be so happy that I'm going to let you have credit for that, because the idea behind what the bet was
it, right. –
Like, that's still within the spirit of the bet.
It's within the spirit, and I respect that. It's all about spirit, you know? All right, cool down team. You had the Colts, and I got the Bears, man. The Bears are 4-1, and I don't think they're that good.
No, they're not. What's going on?
I do not. So I think it works out that I have the Vikings as the breakout team and the Bears as the cool-down team because the Vikings, I think, are going to jump the Bears in the standings. And I think they're going to take over. The Vikings will make the playoffs. The Bears won't. So, and then the Bears will just have – they'll just be mediocre and they'll get a mediocre draft pick. And then they'll have to decide if they still want Trubisky next year because they won't be bad enough to have selected another quarterback, you know?
Right.
And then everyone when all the good quarterbacks go next season and the Bears don't take one, we'll see more memes about Mitch Trubisky and who they passed up on.
Yep.
Nate says bear down as well. So yep. he thinks the Bears are going to stink. All right. Go ahead.
I said he always thinks the Bears are going to stink.
Yeah, he hates the Bears. All right. So we have we did that. That was our superlatives. And what I want you guys to do is tweet at us. You know, you could DM us, tweet us, and we'll share it. Your superlatives. You could write down, you know, the superlatives we gave out and who you'd give those to, or different superlatives, things that we didn't think of. You know, tweet it at Toilets the Titles or comment on the YouTube, you know, channel. Comment with superlatives that either we missed. Or just guys or teams or coaches that you think should win the awards that we discussed. Because if you give us, you know, a superlative that we didn't think of that we could use for the next episode, we'd really appreciate that and, you know, make next episode even better. So we do want to run down the bathroom board a little bit real quick. The bathroom board, again, I talked about it in the beginning of the episode. We did an episode earlier in the off season because throughout the off season we were talking smack to each other throughout all our episodes. And if we were far off on a player, you know, we would put the players against each other and put them on the bathroom board. You know, that was basically the premise of the bathroom board. And then we haven't decided what the loser gets, but we'll have to, but there's going to be a winner and a loser of the bathroom board. It's going to go by points. And we'll figure that out. Maybe you guys can comment on YouTube or tweet us at Toilets the Titles what should happen to the loser of the bathroom board. But anyway, we wanted to give a quick check-in on where we stand, where the bathroom board is. So I'm going to pull up some fantasy football rankings real quick. Justin, you have the doc up, my friend?
I can pull up the doc, yeah. So the first one that we're going to go over is the first one that kicked off all of the bathroom board bets. The first major difference that John and I had where we kind of butted heads about David Montgomery and Miles Sanders. So we placed a bathroom board bet in PPR. All of these are in PPR, I do believe. And so this was a season long thing. It's not a points per game or anything like that. It's a season long thing. Some of these, like if there was an early on injury, we might just throw it out or something. But for the most part, if you miss a couple games due to injury, it is what it is. That's part of the game, and we move on. But so the first one was David Montgomery versus Miles Sanders.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I had Miles Sanders because I was all about that hype going into the season. And John, you had David Montgomery because you were all about that elusiveness and his improvement in the offseason.
Really what it was is that I didn't – honestly, it wasn't that I was high on Montgomery. I just didn't think Sanders was that much better than Montgomery. And you'd think the way that both players were talked about that there was a huge gap between the two.
Right.
And that's really why, you know, I was kind of being a cynic, you know. And yeah. I truly didn't believe they were that far apart. And so Miles Sanders has 68.3 points and David Montgomery has 67.1 points. And they're really close. They're one player apart. And yes, you know, I'm sorry.
Is that standard?
PPR.
Oh,
I'm looking at ESPN.
That's
right now.
Probably after, after week four, they probably haven't added up the week five yet. Because I've got Miles Sanders at 83.8 and Montgomery at 82.8. But either way, it's still – they're within a point.
Okay, so maybe let's use yours then because I'm using ESPN's and maybe theirs is wrong. And, you know, yes, Miles Sanders had an injury, but that's part of, you know, my like for Montgomery is, you know, Miles Sanders never really had an every down back role. You know, he was the backup to Saquon. He had 1 year in Penn State. And, you know, I do think he's good. So, but I just think they're closer than people thought. And I thought they'd produce pretty close this season. So Miles Sanders is ahead of Montgomery right now. So he would get the win, whether it's a point or whatever. So right now you're in the lead. But again, when we did our total, our average of player rankings, Sanders came in at running back 13 and Monty came in at running back 23rd. And they're clearly closer at this point than where we had them ranked.
And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, David Montgomery, even though I've got the Sanders side of this bet, David Montgomery was my turtle head because he's got this crazy good schedule coming up. And I'm excited about it because this week was kind of the start of it. And he scored 21.4 in PPR. So he's already starting to tear it. Actually, my stats might be a little off. In this league, the PPR was right for wide receivers. This one might add rushing points too. So you might – I think we need to go back to yours. But regardless, he had a much better game this week because of his schedule. I think it's going to help his stats. But also Miles Sanders is also starting to kind of break out a little bit, getting a little bit more usage, and his talent's kind of starting to show. I believe he had two touchdowns this week. Yeah, he had two touchdowns this week against the Steelers. I mean, the Steelers are supposed to be tough against the run, right? They're second in the league going into the week against the run, and he still had two touchdowns and 80 yards on 11 attempts against them. So
that was last week because the Steelers played Philly this week.
Oh, okay.
So regardless, you know, he's ready to break out. I'll pull up his numbers.
Yeah, the Steelers play Philly this week. Philly is Miles Sanders. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Dave Montgomery.
No. I was saying both of these guys are still have the potential to really come up in the stats because I still think that Sanders is just the better running back just flat out. And then like I said, Montgomery's easier schedule could bode well for both of them.
Yeah, I think Sanders is a peaks and valleys guy, and I think some of those valleys are going to be when he's banged up, and I think Monty's like steady Eddie.
Oh, for sure. That's absolutely fair. Definitely.
And I think it's almost like the tortoise and the hare, you know? And sometimes the tortoise wins. All right. Next, me versus Justin. I had Matt Ryan. You had Aaron Rodgers. And this one, Rodgers had a bye this week, and he is quarterback 6. And Matt Ryan did not have a bye this week. Where the heck is he? All right, he's right behind Wentz. So that's not very good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. He's QB 16. So you're ahead here. And do you think Matt Ryan's going to turn it around, or you think we need to bail on him?
Well, actually, I think we need to go back and look at the QB rankings preseason real quick. And I'm pulling it up right now on FusionFFB.com, and Matt Ryan, you guys did end up kind of convincing me to come up on him. Damn it! I wish I would have stuck to my guns, but I had him really low. At one point, I had him like around 12 to 15, maybe even worse than that. But I have him at 9, right before the season started because right. I started to realize that a lot of what you guys were saying were making sense, and it did make sense to me that with all those weapons, he should on paper be much better. But I should have trusted my gut, but I don't know, man. Like he's had a lot of injuries at the wide receiver position. I'll give him that. And as those people start to come back healthy, maybe he starts to bump his numbers back up. Unfortunately for you anyway, for the bet, I don't know that he's going to be able to bounce back that much, but because Rodgers is just on fire. Angry Aaron Rodgers, man. Angry Aaron Rodgers is something to it.
He is, man. He is on fire. You know, Matt Ryan, I have him in so many leagues. I'm really hoping that he gets it together, you know, because he just hasn't looked good at all. All right, the next one, I had Chubb, which was our running back 8, and you had Derrick Henry. Let's see where – I don't think either of them are very high up at this point.
Well, one of them has an excuse.
I wish ESPN had numbers by their rankings, but I want to say Derrick Henry's like 30th, and then Nick Chubb is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 – is 7 players above him, so maybe like 23. And then Henry has – a bye. Oh no, Henry's got Buffalo, but he had a bye last week, and Nick Chubb's on the IR. So I think we could say that's a wash.
Hey, hold on 1 second.
Yep. Well, you go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to say that that's a wash, and that's just because, you know, Chubb is on the IR. So if it comes down to it when we do the bathroom board episode at the end of the season and say we're tied, you know, I'll give this one to Justin because, you know, if Henry doesn't get hurt, he is going to finish higher than Chubb, and then it is what it is. You know, that's it comes with the territory. If you pick somebody, he gets injured, you know, during the fantasy season, that's on you. So I can't just take a mulligan because Nick Chubb got hurt. The next one we have, I had Preston Williams, which was a little bit of a bold one here, who was our wide receiver 61. And Justin had Devontae Parker. So I thought that Preston Williams, this was another one where I was kind of being a cynic. I thought that they were a lot closer than people thought. And Devontae Parker, he's right ahead of Chase Claypool, Darius Slayton, Keenan Allen. And let's see where Preston Williams finally got into the end zone. He's finally had a few good weeks. Preston Williams is all the way at the bottom. So right now, it's clear, you know, Devontae Parker is the leader in the clubhouse. So he is way ahead of Preston. So I'm going to need Preston to step it up in order to make this even a challenge. But right now, you know, Devontae Parker is leaps and bounds ahead of him.
Dude, so this has been a crazy morning for me. I got to talk about this. So we were before the show. My neighbor's dog, a couple blocks over, I think, I believe got hit by a truck, right? Oh. Like, that was like a big deal, like some big issue that just happened, like out of nowhere. I just had to leave for a second because my other neighbor over here was asking me if I saw anybody over there at their house last night because their Harley Davidson is missing from their garage.
Their Harley?
Yeah, and this is a tiny little town. Like this, that's
what I was gonna say. How many people are in your town?
Like, I think it's like 600, and you have to count all of the, like, that's the whole surrounding area too, like all the farmers and stuff outside of the town limits and stuff. That counts all of that stuff. So like, this is unreal. Like, and I mean, I heard a thump last night, but he's always like, you know, working late hours and stuff like that. So I didn't really think.
That's scary.
I would have looked out the window.
Like, you ever watch that show Riverdale? I was on like CW11 or whatever that channel's called, like where it's like a mystery. Like you got all these little mysteries. We're going to have to start, you know, figuring out who done it. We're going to have a who done it. Justin, what's the name of your town?
Carthage.
We're going to have a who done it in Carthage. Now, dude, how do you steal a whole Harley Davidson?
This is insane.
Without she's waiting on the cop. It on.
Like, yeah, she's waiting.
Dude, so those are so loud.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you could just kick it in neutral and push it up a ramp, but you would have had to have had help. Like, Harley-Davidsons are heavy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that would have had to have been like a – it's not just a – let me – I see a Harley-Davidson, I'm going to steal it. It's – you know, that's a process.
They pushed it all the way down the road or something and then fired it up maybe.
Almost like a – like they owed money on it or something, and the company came and just took it away. You know, I don't know. It seems like a professionally done job to lift the Harley. Hopefully they find it.
God, that's insane. All right, anyway, what were we on Preston Williams?
Yeah, so Devontae Parker's ahead of Preston Williams right now, clearly. But
remember, though, the reason that I was down on Preston Williams is because of that ACL injury. I don't know if you talked about that. Did you mention that?
No.
So he had that ACL injury that was late in the season last year. And it's very rare that I'm ever going to trust a guy coming off of an ACL unless he's like we talked about, Manny Samuels coming back from that Achilles the way he did, or Adrian Peterson, like people that are just freaks of nature. And we don't know that Preston Williams is. So I assumed that he was like most normal athletes and it was going to take at least a full year to completely come over it. He actually kind of bounced back a little bit this week. He had a better game than. And so maybe he does start to come back and maybe he makes this a closer, more interesting bet. But that was the reason I was down on him early on in the season. He might be a go-by kind of guy right now, now that I think about it, now that we're looking at these bets. Right. Because as he's feeling more confident in that ACL, he might be more apt to do some more athletic things that he hasn't in the past.
The next one is finally, I got a good one here. I had CeeDee Lamb. You had Michael Gallup. I had CeeDee Lamb 10 spots ahead of Gallup, and you had Lamb 8 spots behind Gallup. And looking at numbers here, CeeDee Lamb is the wide receiver 10, and he's been killing it. He's top 10 points every week this season, and he's actually top 20 twice. And then 15 the other. And then Michael Gallup's doing pretty well too, but he is wide receiver 31. So he's like more of a deep threat, big play guy. CeeDee Lamb's more of a PPR. You know, he's going to get 8 to 10 targets. So Gallup, in order to beat him, it's gonna have to be a lot of touchdowns, I think.
Yeah, and Gallup, you say he's 31. I had him at wide receiver 32 overall in the season. So I'm at the point where I'm judging him kind of correctly, except I thought it would be a little more consistent as far as the points go. But Lamb is the one that I greatly underestimated, and it's because I'm always down on rookie wide receivers. And, I mean, I think on the odds, if you usually underrate rookie wide receivers, you're typically going to do well. But Lamb is balling out. I got to hand it to him.
Look at Jefferson Chenault too. You know, those are two guys who they're also doing pretty well. Chenault is a guy who we were pretty high on anyway, but he's producing. He looks like he belongs. The next one, I had Amari Cooper. You had Adam Thielen. And both of these guys are producing a little higher than we expected, but Thielen's the wide receiver 2, and Cooper's the wide receiver 7. So up until last week, it was pretty close. And then Cooper took a back seat to Lamb last week. But I think this one's going to be fun to watch week in and week out, because I think this one's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, and Thielen's not going to get 2 touchdowns every other week like he has been. And and with Dalton as the starting quarterback, I don't know that he's going to have the same kind of connection with Cooper, but he's still effective. So, yeah, it could definitely be interesting. I think we can both say that we were both kind of right on this one.
Yeah. The next one here is I had Kupp. Nate had Calvin Ridley. And this is funny, because I had Kupp wide receiver 9 and Ridley wide receiver 12. Nate had the opposite. Calvin Ridley had 0 points in week 4, and he's still wide receiver 3. And Cooper Kupp is wide receiver 14. So this one, Ridley's in the lead. But I think, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep putting up these monster performances, but Ridley's having a year.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, Ridley's going to continue to do his thing. Early in the offseason, I was high on him, and I'm in some group chats where people were saying, you know, he's a career wide receiver 2 at best, and he won't be able to do it on his own when Julio isn't there. So quit buying him in Dynasty. But I kept buying him in Dynasty, and Julio's been out a lot, and Ridley's still doing his thing. So he's just incredible.
I acquired a bunch of Ridley over the last 2 years, so I'm happy I did. All right, yeah. The next one is the last one we're going to discuss today. And I had Hunter Renfrow, and you had Curtis Samuel. And this is another good one. Hunter Renfrow is wide receiver 47, and Curtis Samuel is wide receiver 44. I had Renfrow 42 and Samuel 48. You had Samuel 42, Renfrow 51, so we were pretty close on these. Like when we ranked them in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, definitely. And the only reason we made this bet though was just because of the Renfrow side of it, you know. And right. I don't think we expected the other wide receivers to be playing as well as they are, especially like Aguilar. Like, like where did that dude come from? I bet the Eagles wish they had him back, right?
Yeah, I bet you Wentz is wishes he had him back for sure.
Absolutely.
So that's, you know, a little taste. That was what, like 7 or 8 of our bathroom board bets, and I think we had like 15 of them. We also had some bold predictions again. So I would recommend, you know, that's on YouTube. You can go back and watch it, or it's on Podbean, Apple Podcasts. You can go back and listen to it as a precursor to this episode. But we're still going to record tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be our weekly show. We're going to have Joshua Bigby from Fusion FFB. I'm actually talking to him right now so we can get on the same page for tomorrow. Tomorrow's episode is at 9:30. So we wanted to do something fun, and we wanted to do, you know, hit on some different topics than we do, you know, in our regular season episode. So Justin, What are your thoughts on the episode? What are your thoughts on, you know, football at this point? And what do we got? What do you have to say to everybody?
This is a lot of fun. I really like this one. I think we need to do the next one after week 8 and before week 9 so that it's more actually quarterly.
Right.
And also, maybe we do it on like Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning so that we got a little time that Monday morning to update the stats a little better. But, you know, working out the kinks. And but it was a lot of fun. And we can actually, like, update the major board bets too, like the big ones at the bottom where it was more bold predictions. That's what they were. So that's kind of a teaser for 3 weeks from now when we do the next one, because those bold predictions are pretty fun too. So
I like maybe by the bi-yearly episode, the halfway point, we'll come up with some more bets. So maybe over the next 3 or 4 episodes, we'll see on things we disagree about. Like, I disagree. I think Devin Singletary isn't a sell. I think Devin Singletary's looked good. So maybe we'll come up with a bathroom board bet with Singletary, and we'll just keep adding to this thing. And we'll debut the bi-yearly bathroom board when we do this episode after week 8. So
I'm willing to do one right now. I'm willing to do starting week 6. So after tonight's game or tomorrow night's game, whenever Buffalo's playing, week 6 on, I will take Moss over Singletary PPR.
Put it on there, man. Put it on there.
Sounds good.
I love it. I like Moss. You know, I was really high on Moss.
Oh, yeah.
Singletary's looked good. Singletary's looked really – like, he looks the part. Like, he's so elusive, and he's such a good runner. He hurts him when he's by the goal line that Allen and Moss are there, because he can't get you those complete points because he's not really getting into the end zone. But the Cats look good. He looks like a professional running back. He looks like a dude. So put that on the board.
Yep.
You heard it here first. That's the newest. That's going to be on the bi-yearly one after week 6. But we appreciate everybody that's listening. We appreciate everybody that's following us. We really would appreciate it whether you're listening on a podcast or you're listening on YouTube, if you would like, subscribe, and then comment. Comment with anything, again, any superlatives you came up with, you know, anything we missed, whatever. We really appreciate that. On Apple Podcasts, if you could hit a review, give us a good review, and then again, screen cap that review and send it to us on Twitter at Toilets to Titles, and we can, then we can remember that, and you know, maybe we'll give away some more Frankenstein entries next year. We're already working on the graphics, so we're already working on Frankenstein graphics. We've already been teasing some names. What do we have? We have one that we can, the second league. Do we have a name that we're going to give it away yet?
What's the one I like the most was a play on the Creature from the Black Lagoon, but I don't remember what it was.
Oh man. Creature from the staff bathroom. Was that
it? Yeah. That's what it was. That was pretty cool.
So we're either going to do 3 or 4, but if you want to get into Creature of the staff bathroom, division, you know, here we go. First giveaway. You want to get in that division? We'll give away two entries to 5-star reviews, new reviews on Apple Podcasts. Submit a new review on Apple Podcasts, 5-star. Send it to us at Toilets and Titles. We're giving away 2 entries to the Creature in the staff from the staff bathroom division. Everybody, again, you can follow me on Twitter at Coach Sheps. You can follow Justin over here at JustinFF_. Nate, who is not here right now, is at Nate_Dirt19. And the show is at Toilets to Titles. We appreciate you guys joining us for the ride and allowing us to talk your ears off for a little over an hour every single week. Tomorrow, tune in, 9:30 p.m. Eastern again. We're going to have Josh on. I'm sure Shane's going to drop in so he could talk some smack. But I'm coming for you, Shane. Justin, what do we got?
Nothing. I'm down to 2% on my computer, so this was perfect timing. So, like I always say, just love each other.
Catch y'all later.
Peace.